The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that we ponder the Trinity in unity and the three persons in one God for this Holy Trinity Sunday. You'll notice our addition of blue tape to help us spread out a bit more. Again, this is a learning process for all of us as we're navigating these fun and interesting times. Ushers will bring you forward for communion, and we'll do just like we did last week. Just remember as you're coming forward to keep your distance between family groups and such as you're coming around again. And we'll go as we did last time from here to here, bread, cup, tray, and then we'll switch for this side as we meander on around. Should make sense as we did last time. In our prayers today, in addition to those who were in the grace notes, Chris Bierwagen, brother of Jim, is having an angiogram on Thursday. Matt Gray got into an argument with a wood splitter and is going to see the orthopedist tomorrow for a finger that is no longer in great shape. So prayers for him as he gets that looked at. And again, the family and friends of Pastor Chris Niedebitz, who was associate pastor at church close to my home congregation, who died unexpectedly of a brain aneurysm this past week. And yesterday, my mother's cousin, Alvin Chowchik, also went to be with the Lord. So we pray for his family as well, for peace and the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to life everlasting. Again, we're going to continue with the office not being too busy at all during the week. We're coming in on Thursday for bulletins, Friday for grace notes and things like that, but not much traffic. Again, just keeping things, it's summertime, things are slowing down anyway, so that will be part of the thing. So you won't necessarily find somebody here unless it's Thursday or Friday. And because we are back in session now, and this is a reminder to folks outside as well, or to folks who are at home, that I can and will come visit you in your home for the sacrament if you're comfortable with that. I know there are some folks who are still waiting a little while longer. So that, put that in your mind as well. So that is an opportunity. Introit will be intoned by our cantor today, as he will also sing the gradual for us as he did last week. And next Sunday, you're inviting you to a sort of graduate parade at the parsonage. We're going to have our two graduates, Andrew and Hannah, who had to work today. Otherwise, we would have done it today. But so next Sunday, we're going to park them in the driveway and try to embarrass them. So come by, blow your horn, throw a card at them or something like that. Well, yell and wave at them. That'll be next Sunday. More information on that this coming week in the Grace Notes. The service is before you. Those are the notes. Let us sing.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There are certain phrases that kick off the races that we experience in life. Gentlemen, start your engines. And men wrapped in loud, finely tuned metal and plastic careen around left turns, pushing the limits of physics in a race for a checkered flag, a pile of cash, and hero status. And they're off. Gates crash open and horses thunder around a track, feverishly whipped by tiny people in colorful silks, intent on crossing the finish line for a pile of cash, hero status, and maybe a bunch of roses. On your mark, get set. And muscled athletes dash down lanes in skin-tight clothes and spiked shoes in a race to break the tape for screaming fans, points for the team, endorsement deals, or a medal. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those words of the Trinitarian invocation kick off a different kind of race, the human race. Countless people of all shapes and colors and nations and languages all set off into all the world, the same world from which they initially came, possessing all that there is to have by the grace of God through faith, all of them fully human and bearing the image of God once lost in sin. So yes, this race is different, much different, because this is a race whose outcome is never in doubt, whose champion is Christ, a race that is finished before it even begins. Because the participants, the baptized children of God, will still experience the blood and the sweat and the tears of dedicated preparation. They will experience unexpected twists and turns. They will experience losses and disappointments, even fights and crashes. It's a race that for some may seem far too short, for some woefully long, one that ends in tragedy or even sorrowful peace. But this race is different because this is a race where you don't run to the finish line. Rather, the finish line comes to you. Though the race remains to be run for as long as you are given to live on this earth, the outcome is never in doubt. The salvation from your sins that gives you eternal life was finished by Christ on his cross and has been delivered to you through the water that was poured over your heads in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Not by anything that you have done. But with these words from St. Titus, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. With these words, you are given the image of God which you were intended to have from the very beginning, when God our Father created Adam and Eve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. With these words, the image that was lost as death spread to all men because all sinned, it is also restored. For one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. With those words, you who were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in the newness of life. For if you have been united with him in a death like his, you shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. With those words, you have been freed from the burden of forever trying to please God. For with those words, God the Father looks at you just as he looked at his only begotten Son at his baptism, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. With these words, God the Father gives you the comfort and the assurance that you are already among those who will enter into eternal life. As the Athanasian Creed confesses, which we would have confessed today, but because we're trying to be good, faithful citizens, shortening things up a bit. But St. Paul reminds you of this in his letter to Ephesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, with these words, not only is the race begun, it's also finished. For with these words, God's throne has come to earth. When these words are spoken, you can join with Dr. Luther in saying, "Surely this is God's house. Here, heaven has been opened to you." Yes, here, in this place, where God speaks the words recalling your baptism, where God speaks his words of forgiveness to you when you confess your sins, where God gives you the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Here, the majestic glory and the mystery of the Trinity in unity has been opened to you. Here, in the living word of Almighty God spoken through St. Paul, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. With these words, you can be sure that the finish line of eternity and the new creation is always before you. Because the Almighty and Eternal God who waits for you at the finish line to give you the crown of life says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." For with these words, God our Father always forgives all of your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.